We have Maulana online. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, Maulana Nazir Abdullah is a member of the Jamiatul Ulama and he's in the social department. We're going to be talking about the importance of a healthy parent-child relationship. Just a minute, I had my papers all mixed here. Okay, we should trust and respect, or rather trust and respect are essential to a positive parent-child relationship. Trust and respect become more of a two-way street as your child gets older. There's no formula for getting your child or your parent-child relationship right. But if your relationship with your child is built on warm, loving, and responsive interactions, most of the time, your child will feel loved and secure. Maulana, what does a healthy parent-child relationship really look like?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think, firstly, it's important to acknowledge that parenting today is not as easy as it used to be. You know, there's many stresses that we face that previous generations didn't have, be it financial, family, workload, you know, external influences. The media makes it a lot harder for us to be present, attuned and patient with our children. But one of the other things that make it difficult is actually how we view parenting. Sometimes we get bogged down by viewing parenting with roles and responsibilities, and we forget that parenting is actually a relationship with two people. So, you know, what is a relationship? A relationship means to relate. So two people relating, connecting to one another, you know, being attuned to one another, understanding, being responsive to each other's needs, you know, accepting one another, showing interest in one another. So a lot of us, we may be related to our children, but, you know, are we relating to our children? So a healthy relationship means I understand and I'm responsive to my child's needs. Now, those are not just the needs I consider to be important, you know, like we need our children to have good manners, or we need our children to be respectful or to be obedient, you know, to get good grades in school. Not that these aren't important, but whose needs are they? They're actually, you know, they're the parents' needs. So this is not a relationship. A relationship is going to take into consideration, you know, the importance of my child's, what they need. So a healthy child relationship is looking at the child's need, the need to be loved, the need to be validated, the need to be respected, to you know, have the right to explore, to play, to make noise, to mess if they need to mess, you know, to make mistakes and not being chastised. And one very important uncompromisable need is actually the need to feel attached to the parent. And when that attachment is positive, then the relationship will be healthy.
Alhamdulillah. I think that's very, very important and very well said, Maulana. How important, now you mentioned attachment, but how important is parental attachment to a child if we're looking at it from a child's perspective?
Okay, so look, with children, they've got two fundamental non-negotiable needs. So one is the need for attachment, which I mentioned, and the other is the need for authenticity. So authenticity is, you know, that we know or we understand ourselves, that we appreciate who we are, we're happy with who we are. You know, it's being able to connect with ourselves, to be able to express our feelings. So authenticity and attachment, they're separate needs, but they actually go hand in hand, because a child needs a secure, loving, protected environment to be able to stay authentic. And this is why the attachment relationship is so important. Now, if we look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually created us, He's created us so dependent on this attachment from birth. You know, the human infant is utterly helpless, you know, completely vulnerable, that if they didn't have this attachment, they wouldn't survive. And if we look at us compared to, you know, animals, you know, a horse, a baby horse, a fowl is within an hour or two, it's up and running. But if we look at ourselves, you know, it can take a year before we even stand, and then talking after that, you know, it's several years before we gain that independence. So it has such an impact on us and our future. You know, having a positive, secure attachment is imperative, you know, even to brain development. So the brain grows rapidly in those first 3 years of life. And it actually needs a safe, secure, non-stressed environment to make the connections to actually have a healthy brain development. And they say that a secure attachment is particularly related to the development of the frontal cortex. Now, that's responsible for decision making. It's responsible for judgment, for reasoning. So it has a great impact. Also on social and emotional development. So a secure attachment is the foundation for all future relationships. You know, when that's secure, we'll learn, you know, how to trust others, how to respond emotionally, how to love, you know, how to show compassion, how to feel empathy. So this is all the result of a secure attachment. And then also self-regulation. So life, you know, is full of challenges. There's always ups and downs. We will face difficulty. So when we have that that secure attachment early on, it actually teaches us how to regulate as humans. So when we do go through those difficult times, we don't become overwhelmed with our emotions. We're able to deal with it. So it's so important for the child's future development. And it's the basis of all moral development. And if we look at, you know, the attachment is so important. It's such a basic need that if we don't get this attachment from the very people we deserve to get it from, our caregivers, mm-hmm. our parents, then, you know, we're going to look for it everywhere. And this is, you know, sometimes where we lose touch with ourselves, and we do things against our nature, and we lose our authenticity just to get that attachment.
Mm-hmm. Those formative years are very, very important for a child. And like you said, you know, they need that attachment. And alhamdulillah, it's something that will last you for the rest of your life, inshallah. Okay, so if we look at from the parents' perspective, what is the basis of a healthy attachment relationship there?
Okay, so what is attachment? Attachment is our desire to be close or connected to another person. You know, so friends have attachment. Husband and wife, they're meant to have a good attachment. Basically, what it is, it's, you know, how safe I feel around another person. You know, how responsive is this person to my emotions and my feelings? How secure I feel? How protected I feel, how nurtured as a child do I feel from my parents? Do I feel my parents have my, you know, my best interest at heart? This is the basis of attachment. As you mentioned, you know, those first few years are vital, because it's those first few years in life we're actually developing, we're building all our value systems, our beliefs, you know, how we see the world, how we view love, how we view parenting. It's all being imprinted at that age. Now, so different age attachment it's going to be dependent on age, but look, some basic things we can be doing as parents. One is being responsive and warm to our children, you know, to be present, to be attuned with our child, not distracted when we're engaging with them, to be able to soothe them when, you know, they're in distress. So if my child is, you know, is sad and or upset at something, you know, I'm engaging in it. I'm not telling, you know, grow up. You know, be a man. You know, I'm engaging. I'm asking him what's wrong, what's happening. Even if they're throwing a tantrum, you know, we don't we don't have to give them what they want. If, you know, they can't have the cookie before dinner, it's not going to be good for them. But that doesn't mean we have to shut them down. So some parents, when the child is throwing a tantrum, you know, the child is screaming, so the parent also screams at the child. Now, this is a bit ironic because we're trying to calm the child down. Now we're just doing what the child is doing. And and because we're bigger and we're louder, then the child is submissive. So it's, you know, if they are throwing a tantrum, pick them up, soothe them, you know. Don't give them what they want, but just at least, you know, soothe the child. And then obviously we need to learn to be able to read our children's cues. You know, if my child is becoming a bit more distant, if he's spending more time in his room or her room, you know, I need to be aware of that. And very important is quality time with our children. You know, we all have, you know, responsibilities, we all have distractions in life, but we have to give that quality time to our children. They deserve it and they need it from us. So when we come home from a busy day, you know, or we've been stressed, we need to take some time out. You know, even if it's 20 minutes in the day, we sit down with our children. You know, we ask them, you know, we can read one hadith, and then we can ask them, how are you doing? You know, what do you need? How are you feeling? You know, I mean, how often are we actually asking our children, you know, what do you want to do this weekend, and honoring that? So it's really engaging with our children. And then obviously positive physical contact is important, hugging, holding. But look, the basis for all this is actually, you know, it's having a house that is stress-free. Now, that's all difficult. That's difficult because we all have our issues, but it's trying to make that home, you know, a home of joy, a home of love, a home of kindness. There's enough difficulties and stresses in the world that place where we are, you know, that home should be a place of joy.
Yes, most certainly. Well, Anna, just a few, could you perhaps just mention some of the common styles of parenting?
Okay, so there's a few styles, and maybe I can just focus on the common ones we see in our community. So the first and probably the most common is the authoritarian parenting. Mm. You know, this is, you know, strict parenting. Discipline is a lot. Very little negotiation possible from the child. Punishment is common. Communication is mostly one way from the, you know, from the parent to the child. Usually, you know, things are not explained to the children. It's very, you know, it's less nurturing, and expectations are generally high. You know, the type of children should be seen and not heard attitude. Now, this type of parenting, it often creates a lot of problems in the child. You know, a child loses a sense of themselves. They don't feel valued because, you know, they're never really asked, they're never engaged. They can become very self-punitive and negative later on in life and really suffer with self-worth issues. So, you know, a lot of us, a lot of parents, they opt for this type of parenting because it's quick results. You know, if you don't eat your food, I'm going to give you a, you know, I'm going to sort you out. So it gets the results quickly. And parents think that, you know, the more strict and the more disciplined I am, then possibly the better off my child will be in the future. But it's quite the opposite. And this type of style, it really destroys the attachment relationship. So, you know, very important that we understand our children don't see our intentions. They can't feel our intentions. So when mum and dad are being hard or strict, you know, all the child sees is, you know, mummy and daddy shouting at me, or mummy and daddy are angry with me, you know, or I'm always getting in trouble. Nothing I can do is good enough. So, it really leaves the child feeling like there's something wrong with him. So, and then another common one is the opposite of that, is permissive parenting. You know, mostly the children can do what they want, limited guidance, limited direction, no real rules, expectations are minimal. So this may be a little bit better for the attachment relationship, but it doesn't give a child direction or guidance, and it can result in a child being less disciplined, more behavioural problems and so on. So some children, some parents, they opt for this because it's easy, you know. If I don't have to deal with the tantrums, if I just give my child what I want.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Well, Anna, I know we would like to continue more. I'm sure there's more. Maybe you can just mention one or two if you want to, and then we go into our final question.
We can go on to the final question.
Okay. From an Islamic perspective, how important is the attachment relationship?
So, look, as a parent, we have an amana to our children, a trust that we have to fulfill, and we're going to be questioned about that trust, And each one of us, we want our children to grow and develop. We want them to be physically healthy, emotionally stable, and we want them to have deen in our life. Now, for us to be able to fulfill that trust, we actually need to be able to guide them. So, it's easy when they're young. They're receptive to us. They listen to us. But as they grow and they get their independence, they'll actually choose whether they want our guidance or not. So just being a parent may give us the permission to guide, but it doesn't always give us the ability to influence. That actually needs to come from the child. The child must want to be guided, and that's going to depend on the relationship, how secure they feel with us, how loved, how valued they feel. That's going to play a part whether they allow us to guide them or not. So, as children, when they're young, the problems are small. But obviously, as they grow, the threats and the problems, they get a lot bigger. So that's really the time in which we want to be able to guide them. And that's going to depend on that relationship. When they get to that sort of age 10, 11, 12, they sort of make that decision. And if we're not, sometimes when they're not listening, what starts to happen is as parents, we start to force ourselves. We punish, we remove privileges. We use the relationship as ransom. If you don't do this, you're going to your room, So all this actually causes more disconnect. And what happens, and what's very dangerous, is once that relationship is lost, once that attachment is lost, they need it. So they'll actually start to go outside the house and look for it. And that's worrying because we don't know where they'll find those attachments. The wisdom of the Sharia actually takes into consideration the importance of this development period, those first few years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that we must teach our children salah at the age of 7. So outwardly, we understand that, this is the age we must start teaching our children salah. But also understood from this is that there shouldn't be any, taklif on our children before that age, because, it's really at the age of 7 that they start to get an understanding. It's difficult for them before that to understand certain concepts, so we shouldn't be hard on our children before that age. We shouldn't have too many expectations. Some parents, they can really chastise their children from a very young age. This is haram, or Allah won't be happy with you if you do that. What's wrong with you? Why don't you read your salah? All this actually creates a negative connection with deen and has a big effect later on in life.
I'm sorry, but we unfortunately have to end our program. I just feel, inshallah, we can speak to you again, inshallah, in the future. But jazakallah khair. Maybe you could just end by giving us one quick, nasiha. Very, very short.
No problem. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, play with your children till the age of 7. Then after, teach them, then advise them. So just before that age of 7, we just allow them to play, and we allow them to explore and be kind and loving with them.
Jazakallahu khair, Mawlana. It was a wonderful program. I really certainly did appreciate all the advice that you shared with us.
Jazakallah. I appreciate it.
We'll speak to you again, inshallah, in the future, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.